ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. Go. Calico. Hunter. Rhodey. The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, everyone. The best show ever here on 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. Whole crew in today, 610-632-0975 is the number to participate. Let's get right to our word of the day. We're going to have a lot of fun today. Word of the day today is moment. Moment as we approach the unofficial start of summer. The Phillies yesterday, Trey Turner yesterday had a moment, and it was a magical moment. It was a magical moment. He had been bad all season, all homestand, had been bad in that very game. His own mama was saying, I was booing you after that fourth at bat in which he swung at one pitch that bounced before it got to the plate. Not one of these pitches that looks like a strike and at the last minute, something filthy. No, the guy rolled it up there and he swung at it. And then he steps up in the ninth and bang. Then Bohm in the 10th with they bring the outfield in with the bases juiced. He gets to walk off, and now they head to Atlanta for 4. The moment. The moment was great. Does this moment become something bigger?
If it doesn't, then this team is a problem. Because I don't know how much bigger it can be than someone who was struggling so poorly. And honestly, it was weighing everyone down. I thought it was weighing down others. And not to say that others weren't playing well. It's just, I think everyone noticed that Trey Turner was going through something. And until he got out of that funk, no one else was able to relax. Now that he had his spot in his moment and delivered on the big stage, it's late in the game, first pitch swinging, puts it over the wall, you tie it up, huge emotional swing in that ballgame. You know, it's the fact that it was him. So if they can't grab onto that player doing it, well, then I really do question this team because it can't get much bigger than that.
Yeah, momentum's been a tough thing for the Phillies to carry over. I mean, you could think back to last year. It was not easy for them to carry over any type of big win. Now, I look at this and I say about Trey Turner, he got the pitch he needed. It was a stupid pitch on the part of the Diamondbacks. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I want you to think back to his at bat before that. He swung at a pitch that went 55 feet. It was 6 feet in front of home plate. And he swings at it. Are you kidding me? He's lost. Absolutely lost. The next pitch he strikes out on is 2.5 feet outside. Those are two terrible swings. Then all of a sudden he comes up and a gift was given to him. A hanging breaking ball, knowing, you know this guy is going up there swinging at the first pitch, and he destroyed it. He did exactly what he was supposed to do with that ball. Should this carry over for him? Yes. Why? Not necessarily just because it was a game winner, but it is a piano off of his back. He knows those fans were on him. His mother's booing him at home. I know what that feels like. I have an older brother that used to tell me, like, yell at the TV saying he sucks tonight. So I'm no stranger to things like that. I think it should carry over. Does it carry over for the whole team? Not so sure. But I'm going to go a step further because I know that was a big moment. I know Bohm had a big moment yesterday. Go back to the 6th inning. Booney and I were actually talking about this. The 6th inning, Hoffman walks the bases loaded, goes 2-0 on the next guy. Okay, gets one out. Andrew Vasquez comes in. Boom, boom, the Phillies are out of that inning without giving up a run. That is where the game turned to start with, but that also led to Turner being a hero and Alec Bohm being a hero. So you have three guys that are on an upswing just because of one game right now. So I don't believe it's the one thing by Trey Turner. I think it's a big picture of three guys that picked up a lot of confidence yesterday.
So Ricky doesn't believe in the moment. I'm asking the people about the moment. Can a single moment change everything? Can a single moment? Now, we know in life, A single moment can change anything at any time. But with this team, four games at the Braves, you walk off in that way, you get on that plane feeling good. I know I left work feeling good.
Me too.
Come back today feeling good.
Me too.
Gonna have the long weekend feeling good.
You guys made the post-game show.
I had to hear about that.
Yeah.
Our reaction made the post-game show.
Our debut on the post-game show.
It was outstanding.
So we were all hyped up. So moment. We're talking about, can a moment be bigger? And then it adds to another question. Now, by the way, on the TV side, people can see I have my sheriff's badge on today. I'm not playing any games with people today about this hot dog stuff, okay? I'm laying the law down. I'm the sheriff of food, damn it. I have the badge to prove it. They don't just give these away, by the way, these badges. You got to earn them. So we'll get to that in just a moment, okay? I'm not playing with none of y'all. Y'all know the rules this weekend, and I'm going to be walking around the shore enforcing those rules. Now, in sports, what's more important? The moment is fleeting. Now, and I know we talk about clutching things like this. Part of the reason why Trey Turner's moment was so dramatic was because of his failure in the first inning, et cetera. He had five at-bats. The fifth one was great. The first four stunk. Let's say if he hits a home run the first at-bat. Let's say he hits a double the second at-bat. Is that necessarily not as important? We put so much into clutch. Is it possible? What's more important, the clutch moment or the overall excellence? In hockey, our guy Matthew Tkachuk, you know, I've been a family friend of the Tkachuks for many years. He scores another game winner. But if you score early in a game, you score a goal in the first period to put your team up 1-0. You score in the second period after it's tied to put your team up 2-1. Maybe you don't score in the third, but is that not clutch? Is it the moment that's most important? Or is it the overall excellence that's more important if you have to choose one?
I think it's the overall excellence. And yeah, you're absolutely right. We look at the ninth inning home run as this big, huge spot. But if you do it in the second inning, you're not even in the position to have to worry about needing that clutch moment because your team is already in a good spot. You're already up 2 runs. You're up 3 runs. So it might not be as sexy because you're not making the highlight package of a ninth inning walk-off home run or whatever it is on that given night. But you're still doing so many things to lead up to it. And because your overall excellence, if you're consistent throughout the entire year, you would think that that would bleed into some clutch moments too, though, right? I mean, if you're someone who's constantly doing it all the time, you know, I think that it's going to work its magic in clutch moments too. So you're doing it in the clutch, and then you're also doing it in the first inning, third inning, fifth inning. It just kind of happens throughout your entire season. So, I mean, I think it's overall your body of work more than it is clutch. I value that way more, you know, way more intensely.
Yeah, but when you really think about it, he stole a win from a loss for his team. So when you're doing something like that, that is, I mean, there's nothing better. You don't go think about this for a second. You don't go in a wiffle ball game in the backyard when you're a little kid and go, two balls, two strikes, third inning, base hit. All right. Woohoo. You don't do that. You put yourself into a clutch situation. Bases loaded, two outs, you're down by three, 3-2 count, and you hit a home run. See, the clutch situation is always the greatest thing in sports. There's nothing better than somebody that you could trust with the game on the line. Game was on the line yesterday for him, and he came up huge. That's what sports is all about. I understand we want him to hit 300 because it's Trey Turner. But, I mean, if you put together 10 of these clutch situations in a year, or 5 or 10 of them, then you become a clutch player. Then you become somebody who you could look forward to using or seeing up in the 8th and 9th inning and not just say, well, oh, here comes Trey Turner, game's over. No. Instead, you're going to start saying, oh, here comes Trey Turner. Watch this. He's going to get a knock. He's going to drive in the winning run. Think about Gene Segura last year. I mean, he wasn't great, but what do we remember? His walk-offs, because he did it a lot, and he continually did it, and he became a clutch player.
But it's just about the optics at that point. See, if we're rooting for a World Series again, and we're in 6 games in the World Series, I don't care if it happens because of a clutch home run or if it's a dribbler in the infield in the third inning where you get on first base and someone scores a run. It doesn't matter to me how it looks. I just want it to be a way of winning. So if it's clutch home run or if it's a single, I don't care.
I mean, you have a great point because you don't want to be in those situations every single night. But it's nice that you could count on somebody in those situations and they feel comfortable in those situations because a lot of guys don't want the bat in their hands at that point in time in a game. And it just proves that he didn't mind having the bat in his hand last night.
But Trey Turner and Gene Segura are two very different people. Trey Turner should be so much better than he has been up to this point.
He is, but also Gene stinks this year. And some of that is because clutch is fleeting.
Correct.
Clutch is fleeting. You see, like for example, I know this will upset people, but LeBron James has hit more game winners than Jordan and Kobe combined.
That can't be true.
Nobody wants to hear that.
But
they'll argue that to the death.
But clutch is perception. There's all these other things with clutch. But then those same people will give credit to Michael Jordan for never getting to a game seven. So if Turner gave you four good at bats and it's 3-for-4 yesterday, they're not down 5-0. It's 5-2 because he did something earlier in the game. And then the ninth inning wasn't necessary. I feel like the overall excellence is more controllable than the moment. The moment, like if Stott doesn't get on, that home run doesn't tie the game.
Yeah, but everybody forgot about Stott already, except for you. I thought that was a great point you brought that up.
Ricky, you brought up in your opening piece how important it was to have the excellence with Brogdon getting out of that funk. So you didn't forget about it.
Well, it was Vasquez. But my whole point is there are survivor times during the game. And I thought that, let's face it, if he gives up a couple runs there, the game's over. Yeah, for all intents and purposes.
So, good point. So, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the importance of the moment. Is it about the moment, or is the overall thing more important? And can the Phillies build on this moment? Because these four games against the Braves and the three games against the Mets, depending on how they go. Now, if they go 3-4, all right, whatever. If they were to go 1-6, it could be over already. I know they'll see it's a lot of time left, but you already put yourself so far behind. If they were to go 5-2, like this can dictate a lot of things. Can they build on the moment? It's Therapy Thursday, and we're doing 10-second song because the game yesterday, and the theme today is summer. These are songs that were big in the summer, have summer in the title. Summer, summer, summer. And the prize, a pair of same-day ride and water park tickets to Maury's Pier. Andrew Salchunas is not allowed to have this prize. In fact, he's not allowed to come to Wildwood again. If I find Andrew Salchunas in Wildwood Crest, Wildwood, or North Wildwood, I will do everything in my power for him to be ticketed, towed, and imprisoned. He is not allowed back in that town, period, after the slander that he had last show.
Nor West Wildwood.
Not West Wildwood either. He can't go in there. If I see him at West Side Saloon, we're putting him under the bar. Under the bar.
He's not allowed there.
He's not allowed there. But anyway, you can win. Again, a pair of same-day ride and water park tickets to Maury's Pier. Experience thrills and make a splash with the Fanatics Deal of the Week. Get one same-day ride and water park ticket to Maury's Pier for just $70. That's unlimited rides on all three piers and access to both water parks. The retail value is $120. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com, keyword deal. Hurry, supplies are very limited, but you won't have to go buy it if you just get a song right and qualify. You can win it today, and I guarantee I'll go one step further. Whoever wins, as long as it's on a weekend, I will set up a time to have a meet and greet with the person at Maury's Pier.
You're a man of the people.
I'm going to have a meet and greet with the person. In addition to you winning the tickets for the winner, we'll set up a mutual time, and I'll come to Maury's Pier with you and say hi. All right? That's how committed
I am
to this whole situation. 610-632-0975. We're going to have fun. We're going to have Hunter's History Moment. We're going to have a lot of stuff. We'll talk to Scott Lauber about the Phillies, what he thinks they can do. A lot of fun today here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-622-0975. Song some people have called Ricky, the title of this song. At times. You know, maybe not now, but in his day, some people called him that, the title of this song. You know. I guess that's why Jen decided to play it.
Don't put that on me.
Messed up, Jen. on the line, we'll back to the phones in a moment. On the line right now, you know he does just an incredible job covering the Phillies for the Inquirer. And he has something, he had kind of the same sentiment as we had. His story, his game story after the game from the Inquirer. Trey Turner delivers first signature Phillies moment in a 6-5 comeback win over the Diamondbacks. Mr. Scott Lauber on the Comcast Business Hotline. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing well. How's everyone?
Doing pretty well, man. Now Scott, our word of the day is moment. And we're trying to figure out, we're trying to wonder, is it possible, and you've been covering this game, you're around this team, where a moment like Trey Turner's and the team having a comeback from being down 5-0 to win, could the momentum from the moment carry over into this 4-game series in the Braves against the Braves and then 3 games against the Mets, or is everything self-contained to you in the game of baseball?
Well, I mean, look, I hate to start out here with a cliche, but I will. What's the adage in baseball, right? That momentum is only as good as your next day's starter. And so I don't think it's entirely self-contained. I do believe that one game can bleed into the next, one day can bleed into the next, but it's different from the other sports. They play every single day. And, you know, if the Braves come out tonight and score 3 in the first inning against Aaron Nola, well, all of that momentum from yesterday kind of goes up in smoke. So I do believe that you can have a carryover, but I'm skeptical of that. I am skeptical, especially when I see the Phillies, who have not really launched yet this year. They haven't taken off and gone on that run. So until you start to see them string together 4 in a row, 5 in a row, you know, 6 out of 7, you know, 8 out of 10, and put together a run, and then we can look back and say, you know, it all kind of started with the Turner home run on that getaway day at home. Well, then I think we can point to it. But I do think there's a lot of work to do to get from here to there.
We've asked you this question like a billion times in 10 different ways, it seems like, over the last few weeks. But with Trey Turner, you look at that at-bat prior to the home run, and he's swinging at pitches that are so far into the dirt before it even reaches home plate. I mean, how does it get to that level? Like, in what world is the hitter that he is and his ability to be unbelievable, and he's swinging at that garbage, how has it gotten to this point for Trey, and the ability to turn it around with one at bat? It just scares me. That's all. It scares me looking ahead.
So I think what you're looking at is a good hitter who's going through a bad time. And I'm sure that the human element of this is at play where, you know, although I do not, and I think I've said this to you guys before, I do not get the feeling that this is Castellanos 2.0. I don't think he is, you know, uncomfortable here. I don't think he is a fish out of water. I don't think he's, you know, having difficulty adjusting. And I also don't think he's bothered by the boos or the noise or any of that. I just think he's off to a bad start. And then there is a human element of it, and he is with a new team, and I'm sure he does want to make a better impression than this. And I think he wouldn't be human if he didn't feel that way. And so I'm attributing that to why he's chasing pitches he normally doesn't chase. Like, I don't know what else to attribute it to other than, you know, he's a human being and it's natural to kind of do that. And maybe a hit like yesterday, you know, you asked me whether it can create momentum for the team, possibly, but maybe that's what he needed to get himself going. It was his first kind of signature Phillies moment. He had other chances. I do wonder If we go back to that game in April in Chicago, if he'd end up hitting for the cycle that day, I wonder if that's what launches him. I wonder if he gets a hit in the ninth inning in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago instead of striking out, if that's what launches him. So, you know, maybe he needed that, and maybe it helps to push him and create some momentum for him personally, individually. I can see that possibly happening. And I think, look, it's very clear, right, that everyone's been expecting that moment from him for close to 50 games now. I mean, he joked yesterday. It wasn't a joke. I mean, he told us yesterday that he came back into the clubhouse to a text message from his mom confessing that she was booing him through the television because she thought that at-bat in the seventh inning where he struck out was a really bad at-bat. So, I mean, the guy's own mother is wondering when he's going to sort of take off and go be the player that we all think he is and we've seen him be. So, I mean, you know that that's certainly in his mind, and maybe a hit like yesterday kind of frees him up a little bit.
Yeah, you look at Ranger Suarez yesterday. It looks as though, you know, his arm speed's not there. He's trying to play catch-up. What are your thoughts on Ranger right now?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ricky. I mean, I think you especially see it with his off-speed, right? He hung that changeup yesterday on the home run, and he knew it as soon as he threw it. Like, you could tell by his reaction. They've talked about, you know, swearing up and down that he's healthy, and I don't believe they rushed him. I mean, he threw a lot of like, I remember when he was going through the rehab, we were like, how many bullpen sessions is he going to throw? We didn't think it would take as long as it took. Maybe ideally they would have given him one more game in the minor leagues before they brought him back. But overall, I don't feel like they rushed the rehab. So they say he's healthy. Is this just rust? I'm not sure. I mean, he didn't look good out of the stretch yesterday. That was where a lot of the trouble started for him. Command hasn't been good. That's not characteristic for him. So I think there's a lot of going back to the drawing board for him when he throws his bullpen this weekend and to try to figure out exactly what it is that's causing the command in particular. And I think it's command, especially on his off-speed, to be less than what we're used to seeing.
We're speaking with Scott Lawbury. He does a great job covering the Phillies for the Inquirer. On a somewhat positive note, the fan base has not been too concerned about Schwarber. And the one thing about him is he has had good power. He finds a way to hit the ball in the seats. He's on pace for 40 home runs again. But the month of June is looming, and usually this is when he really, really takes off. From what you've observed, is there anything more wrong with Schwarber this year than previous years? And maybe we don't know exactly June 1st all of a sudden is just going to happen, but do you think he'll find a way to bring this average up out of the 170s over the course of the month?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're talking about Schwarber at the plate, then, you know, what we have to do, I guess, is lean on the fact that this is the time of year where he typically starts to heat up a little bit. I think he is who he is as a hitter, right? He is very much a three true outcome hitter, strikes out, walks, and hits home runs. I don't know that he's ever going to hit for a truly high average. I mean, we thought this year with the elimination of the shift that he might get some more base hits to right field that were ordinarily into the shift. Doesn't seem like that's happened. Maybe one or two. Doesn't feel like he's really benefited as much from that as we thought he would. Maybe it's just that's the kind of hitter that he is. It's just it's going to do damage when he hits the ball out of the ballpark and when he draws walks and scores some runs that way, but never a guy who's going to hit for high average. I mean, for me, the thing that I'm looking at with him is he hasn't looked right to me in the outfield all year. And I've asked him about it a number of times. He says it's nothing. You know, I've seen him wear a brace at times on his knee, and he says it's mostly just for kind of like load management and sort of preventative, and that he's done that before. And he did do it a little bit last year. So, I mean, look, you take the guy at his word but he doesn't seem to be moving as well out in the outfield. I just think at the plate, he is the kind of hitter that he is, and waiting for that hot streak to kick in and, kind of, you know, the track record says that, you know, when the weather gets warmer and maybe it's just he gets into the flow of things a little bit more, that's what normally happens. And so you got to trust, I suppose, that it's going to happen again.
How do you feel about that fifth starter spot? We've seen them previously go with an opener and then Bailey Falter stuff happened, and they tried it again with Matt Strom and Covey over this most recent time. How do you feel about it?
I mean, you you gotta wonder how many turns through they can go. I mean, it worked this time around, right? Because Covey gave them some innings and pitched pretty well in his first appearance for them. I'm not sure what they're going to do yet on Sunday. That's when the turn comes up again. Look, they're not the only team, right, that has fifth starter problems. I wrote something this week about the Braves, for example. Like, they're starting kid that they're calling up from the minor leagues tonight to be their fifth guy, and they've gone through their rotation a number of times lately with a bullpen game in the fifth spot. So, I mean, a lot of teams are searching. It just doesn't seem like the Phillies have sort of the depth of talent that that they can go grab in the minor leagues to help fill in. Like, the Dodgers have this problem, and they called up their top prospect, Bobby Miller. You know, the Phillies, you know, Mick Abel's not ready yet. Griff McGarry is not ready yet and coming back from an injury early in the season. Andrew Painter's hurt, obviously, you know, or still coming back from his spring training injury and nowhere near ready to pitch in games. Below them, you've got, you know, the Christopher Sanchez's and Michael Plassmeyer's of the world who are not pitching well in AAA. It just seems as though they don't have a ton of options down there. I would keep an eye on McGarry. I do think he could move fairly quickly if he continues to pitch well and get stretched out. But, you know, there's not a whole lot to do. And it kind of tells you what they sort of thought about Bailey Falter and that they demoted him when they didn't have a replacement for him. So I think they're going to go with this sort of bullpen slash opener bulk route for a while. I mean, maybe Covey can actually start a game here or there, depending on the matchups. They liked him in that bulk role the other day because of the Diamondbacks lineup. They felt like they were better off starting a left-handed pitcher to get through the lineup, you know, ostensibly once before they went to Covey. Don't know how they feel yet about the Braves lineup and what the matchup says there, but I guess they're going to go with this for now and hope that they can get by until they have a more clear, more traditional sort of solution for how to fill that fifth spot.
Looking at the bullpen, what are you thinking right now with this bullpen? I mean, obviously they're up and down a little bit, and what have you heard about Jose Alvarado?
Yeah, up and down a little bit. I you know, honestly, and maybe this says more about the Phillies and their start through 48 games, 49 games than anything else, but like the bullpen, I feel like has kind of been the strength, like, or at least the most consistent part of it. And in saying that, they have been up and down, you're right. But, like, you know, for the most part, like, you look at it and you're like, well, you know, more often than not, you know, Sir Anthony and Soto and Kimbrell are going to be pretty reliable, and Alvarado is certainly going to be reliable when he's in there and he's healthy. And so that gives Thompson options late in games. And they've gotten, you know, way more than they ever probably expected from, you know, Andrew Vasquez and until yesterday. Jeff Hoffman had come up and pitched really well, and they've gotten kind of they've gotten good contributions in the middle from those guys that you didn't really count on when the season started. So, you know, I think they actually have to feel fairly good about their bullpen. In terms of Alvarado, you know, he's throwing again. He's going to throw some bullpen sessions on this road trip. It's still unclear whether he'll be back before the trip is over, but he is traveling with them, and I think that he's going to be close by the end of the trip. Whether he's back yet or not in Washington next weekend remains to be seen.
Well, Scott, we really appreciate it. It's going to be a fascinating next seven games for sure, given that the Braves are in first place in their struggles against the Mets last year. And this will be, this will finally be Memorial Day. That's been the time when people have been waiting. So appreciate it so much, man.
You got it. Anytime.
All right. That was Scott Lauber on the Comcast Business Hotline. Does a fantastic job covering the Phillies for the Inquirer. You know, so many people say, it's not even Memorial Day yet. It's not even Memorial Day yet. Well, who do you get to play leading up to Memorial Day? You get the Braves and the Mets?
Ooh.
It'd be Memorial Day then. If they do well, people say, see? It was all fine. If they don't do well, then it'll be, well, the kids aren't out of school yet.
Yeah, they keep pushing it back.
And then it's 4th of July. That's the All-Star break.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Now it is time for us to step aside for just a moment and find out what's brewing, because we never know, with Jen.
All right, we're going to start with the Buffalo Bills today and a great story. Of course, Bills safety DeMar Hamlin and his life was saved on the field with the emergency personnel that came out that knew that he needed CPR quickly. They literally saved his life. He is now, obviously, he's using his platform nationally to promote the fact that people should get trained in CPR. But he got together the Buffalo Black Nurses Association, the University at Buffalo Medical Doctors, American Medical Response, and the American Heart Association all together to come to the stadium to train the entire Bills staff on CPR.
So everybody, from the secretaries, the custodial staff, everybody learns.
Yep. I think that's a wonderful story.
It is. You know, I always wonder, because I took the class when it was here. They had offered it here. I took the class here, and I've taken it another time. I took it at the Heart Walk in by Citizens Bank Park a few years back, and like I haven't had to use it, thankfully.
Thank God, yeah.
But, you know, the more people that know it, then, because, like, not everybody would be good under pressure. We learned that with Hunter.
Right.
But
if I needed to save your life, though, I got you.
Adrenaline kicks in, too, at some point.
See, I would think that about most. Hunter, we'll find out. You know, you'll be put to the test at some point in your life, I'm sure. But
here's hoping not.
Well, at some point, in some way, not CPR. I'm saying we're all put to the test.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Aren't we?
Gotcha, yes.
So, but the more people that know it, the more likely someone will step up.
Right.
Is really the point. So if you go there and somebody collapses on a train and everyone knows it, somebody will step up.
Yes,
so to
thankfully.
Me, it should almost be the point where, like,
it's mandatory.
Yeah, like almost. Yeah, because it literally will save a life.
I did it about 5 years ago. I went through a class. And that was the last time. I guess I only did it once in my life. So that it was about
mine
5 years.
Mine was about
ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah, I took it. It's been more. Whenever they did it here, and the Hard
that was
walk.
Just a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's been like I think maybe three times in the last 5 years or so. I've
that's
taken.
That's great.
But that was just in case. I mean, you never know.
It's neat that he's using that platform for this good. Because it's crazy to me that I didn't know DeMar Hamlin's name before all of this happened. And thank God he's alive. Thank God that he's using this to continue on. So I thought that was a nice little story today. Moving on to Michael Jordan.
Oh real fast. And also, he's back at practice.
Right. That's awesome. Insane.
Like, he's at practice. Like, like he's back playing football.
He's like Bryce Harper-esque.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy. And doing what he loves, which is great. All right. So moving on to Michael Jordan. An Olympic game-worn jersey has sold for millions. So a Dream Team jersey, right? Worn by Michael Jordan from the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, sold for $3 million. $3.03 million, to be exact. It could be the highest price piece of Olympic clothing ever sold. Help me with the last name, Hunter. Mike.
Oh, Arruzioni.
Arruzioni. You do it very well. His Miracle on Ice jersey sold from the 1980 Lake Placid Games for $657,250. That was back in 2013. So this went for over $3 million. However, I found this really interesting. The highest priced Olympic memorabilia that was ever sold was the Olympic Manifesto from 1982 that outlined the modern Olympic Games. That sold for $8.8 million in 2019.
Well, it could have been from 1882.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah.
For the modern Olympic Games.
There you
1982.
Go. 1982. Not that long ago.
Yeah, 1882. Crazy. Now, here's the thing about the Olympics. And just in general, for me, like I know, like pro sports people get into it. Imagine you be like your Usain Bolt or Carl Lewis. Man, that would be hard for me to pass up to be the fastest man in the world.
Sure.
Like in under that stage where one bad race every 4 years ruins your life.
Right.
Like ruins the legacy. That kind of moment, that kind of pressure.
Yeah.
And you come through. Now, Jordan, when he wore that jersey, he was obviously all the way Nike. I forget it was Adidas or Reebok or somebody else. So he used the American flag to cover it when he did the
really?
The medal ceremony. He did that on his own.
Oh, I never knew
he
that.
He covered up the logo.
Right.
That's a guy that understands branding.
Yes, he does.
If I could meet Michael Jordan, I would have him rebrand 97.5 to Fanatic.
That would be smart.
As a brand.
Yeah. He is very good at that.
He knows a brand.
Marketing genius.
Bringing back the Hornets. You know how many jerseys he sold just by bringing back Hornets?
The starter jacket.
Nobody cared about that damn Bobcats. You bring back the Hornets and people wear it.
Yeah, there you go.
He understands a brand.
Yep.
And I guarantee if we change the 97.5 to Fanatic brand, everything could change.
Especially under Jordan. Yep. Yeah.
It's not just, he can do it. No, he can ghostwrite it. He don't even have to.
Anonymously.
Just anonymously. That guy knows a brand.
Yeah.
We got to do something about the brand.
How about that?
We got to do something about the brand.
Anybody out there know Michael Jordan? Can we get in touch with
him? Hit us about the branding.
Yes.
That's the key. You know
smart.
What we'll do? Since we'll give him 0.5% of the Best Show Ever profits for the rest of his life.
Oh, I was thinking he gets a pair of tickets to go to Morgan's Pier. No?
Maury's Pier?
Oh, sorry, Maury's Pier. What did I say?
Different Pier. Yeah, very different. Maury's Pier. Philadelphia ones and Wildwood.
We can get him a pair to Maury's Pier.
I work on that.
I'm sure we could do that.
I can swing that.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
610-632-0975. Ivan, Don, Jerry, Larry, we'll get to you. 5 o'clock hour. Coming up, well, we'll have our usual hijinks, but we'll have out of context today because we're not here tomorrow. We got to get to the question of the day. We got to continue Therapy Thursday. I got to lay down the law as the sheriff. All you hot dog eaters got a real problem this weekend. I'm going to come and find you. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.